Hey guys, welcome back to Shuffling in the Shadows. Now this episode is a little bit different, and I decided to draw inspiration from Napoleon Hill's Outwitting the Devil, which is a book where the author is interviewing the devil and basically gets a step-by-step guide on how the devil will cause you to drift and lack purpose and just be lost in your life. And the way that he does that is through fear. And there are different categories that he touches on. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to look at fear as a teacher. What is it trying to teach me? What is it trying to change? Where is my attention needing to be honed in on so I don't drift and I'm not lost and I can start to overcome some of the areas where I feel like I fall short? Now, what I did was I asked my tarot deck, right? So what is fear trying to teach me? And the Five of Swords actually came out. And I use the Rider-Waite-Smith, and the imagery for this card and in this deck is of a man in the foreground, the immediate foreground, and he's holding on to three swords. Laying down at his feet are two additional swords, and in the background there are two people who are walking away from him. Now, the sky in this card is also very turbulent. There seems to be like an unease in the air. It's basically a scene of conflict, but it's the kind that leaves everyone involved just feeling very hollow. Okay. Now, I've been reading this just a little bit differently, and it's basically helped me to split it into two perspectives. We have the internal read as well as the external. So what is going on with me mentally, emotionally, and then how is it being mirrored to me in my everyday life with the people that I engage with? So now, to me, the Five of Swords can represent how I cling to the emotional wounds and being able to carry them like a banner. Now, I tend to let my scars tell my story, and sometimes it's much louder than my healing could ever be. My scars have basically become my identity, and it might not necessarily be consciously, maybe, but it's deeply woven into how I move and how I navigate the world. It's the voice inside that is constantly saying that people only understand me if they know what I've suffered. Now, this card speaks to how I also resist help and how I begin to loop the same stories, and not because I'm really wanting to find a resolution, but because the repetition of it gives me something familiar to hold on to. It's so much easier to revisit the hurt than it is to restructure my thoughts or rewrite the narrative. There is a type of currency in the suffering. It's an emotional capital, and I spend that capital as a way to maintain connection. It's how I validate my worth, and it's the easiest way for me to be seen. And then there's what this card reveals about my dynamics with others. The swords dropped at my feet, those may not even be mine. They're not mine. They are the emotional residue, the unresolved grief and chaos that I've allowed others to lay at my feet and just to walk away from. And what do I do with it? I tend to pick them up. I hold on to them like they are my responsibility. And for a long time, I believed that carrying someone else's anguish proves my loyalty, and also my usefulness. I became an emotional repository. I was basically a place where others, and I still am. I am still a place where people are able to offload what they can't or won't deal with. And I had to ask myself, is my hurt the only way I know how to relate to people? And right now, it feels like that answer is yes. Because I have become the listener, I've become the nurturer, the fixer. I seek out people who are struggling, I tune into suffering, and well before I am able to tune into joy. And it's not because I enjoy pain, but because it's familiar. It's the language that I have learned to speak fluently. But it leaves me exhausted, and sometimes I can't even go out without someone needing a reading or wanting to unload their story. I don't know how to enjoy myself and just be without being needed in some way. And I've built my whole identity around emotional labor. And it's not out of ego, but it's just out of habit, and it's no longer becoming something that is sustainable for me. So I had to ask a follow-up question. And that question was, what would happen if I stopped leading with fear or service? What would happen if I just existed? And the Queen of Cups came up for me. Now, this is not the first time that she has shown up in this context. She's actually been a bit of a stalker card for me. She's actually in another reading that was linked to Fear is My Teacher. I asked, what is the root of my fear? And the Queen of Cups came up. This card also was a significator card for me about 3 years ago when I was really, really in a position in my life where fear, ruled everything that I did. And I had no idea what my life would be like. So it's very interesting that she has now come up again. And what this card looks like, we have a queen sitting on a stone throne. It appears that she's actually sitting on an island, and her feet are just barely touching the edge of the island, almost as if she's kind of towing the water, because there's like a huge ocean just around her. And she's holding, it's kind of like a chalice, sort of. But it looks more of like the Ark of the Covenant. That's what she's holding. She's also got a blue and white robe on and a golden crown. And things seem to be a little bit more peaceful and serene for Now, the energy of the Queen of Cups. She is someone who is deeply intuitive. She's emotionally wise, but she's also contained. She doesn't pour endlessly. She is present without drowning. She listens without becoming a sponge. She does not absorb what doesn't belong to her. And that's when I realized my nurturing, my constant service, it's been a mask. It really has. It's a way to avoid being vulnerable in other ways. Like, if I'm holding space, I don't have to risk being held. And if I'm the one always listening, I don't have to wonder if anyone would really listen to me. I have shortened or skipped over stories where I felt excited or alive or proud. It's not because those moments didn't matter, but because I've been cut off too many times, and I've learned that people tend to tune out unless what I'm saying revolves around their experience. And so I've internalized this belief that my joy isn't relatable or just isn't worth sharing. But what if I let myself be seen in my wholeness and not just in my heartbreak? Like, what would happen if I just showed up with, like, my hands just not full of people's grief? What would shift if I put down emotional suffering as a form of currency and stop trying to earn love and attention through my distress? And what would it look like to believe that I'm worthy of being fucking celebrated, and not because I've endured, but because I just exist, just because I'm here and I'm me? So fear, now that I've allowed it to speak, it's not telling me to run. In this instance, it's asking me to stop. To stop identifying only with what hurt me. To stop shrinking joy so it doesn't make others uncomfortable, to stop using struggle as a proof of my value. And that's where I'm at. The Five of Swords and the Queen of Cups gave me that. I received a mirror and a message. And I want to thank you all for listening. And if this stirred something within you, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And if not, that's okay too. Either way, I'm choosing not to carry what isn't mine anymore.